Good morning, Las Vegas. Day number four, Sunday Fun Day. The National Finals Rodeo live from the St. James and Church stage in the Cowboy Commons. We're going to spin some heads today. No, we're not doing that because it's No Spin Rodeo Rally. Kendra Santos and Tommy Joe Lucia.
Happy Church Day. It's Sunday in the City of Lights. Welcome. We're here at the Cinch Stage at the Cowboy Commons, the new East entry of Cowboy Christmas, where you can't walk through it without buying something. Well, I can, but my wife absolutely cannot walk through it without buying something. Credit cards are flying, smoking hot in there. Get some good deals. Welcome to No Spin Rodeo. Welcome to the better half of our group, Miss Kendra Santos. Good morning.
Good morning. I have my frost fever coat on today for a reason.
We got the Frost Boys in the house. We're going to start the show like we do every day with our Pro Fantasy Rodeo round recap. I'll kick it off. Now, remember, there's the big game. Do you guys play Pro Fantasy? Yeah, no?
Yeah, I do.
Are you any good at it?
No. I was the first two nights, but they really let me down last night.
Yeah. Do you play the daily game or just the big game?
I've just been playing the big game right now.
Okay, if we're going to talk to them right off the top, we at least have to say this is Josh Frost and this is Joe Frost, and we'll do a more formal intro, but since we're just going to go ahead and mix it up.
Boy, this black and white lady and Mr. Gray here, anyway, so back to Pro Fantasy Rodeo. Hey, quick update. Remember, you can play daily games, and if you play the big games, it's $5 off. And you can play the daily games, which is where guys that like know the stock and know when guys are on heaters and know when guys are injured, they can make some money on that daily game, right? You know, there's these big licks and guys like the Louisiana guy in the bareback riding that throws everything upside down, right? Because that was just I didn't have any money guy. But anyway, Pro Fantasy Rodeo, play the daily game now. It's fun. Go to profantasyrodeo.com. There's 10 grand up in prizes and you get another 100 grand to pick your cowboys. And so quick recap on the standings after round three in the big game. So if you know how much money you won, this is why I think this is interesting. Hardly Riding is the team name. Delaney Turner, probably. $545,685 won on her fantasy team, which is exactly 300% more than Lucia has won. And then in the round three game, just the daily game, which is what we're really talking about now, $226,000 took the win, and she got a $2,000 payout. So we want to thank our partners with Pro Fantasy Rodeo for sponsoring this segment of the show, which is where I hand it over to Kendra to give us our round recap.
Just kind of highlights, just stuff that I see in the stands. So, Cole, last night was Golden Circle of Champions night, which is all of us rodeo
really
people.
Ugly hats. I mean, I love them. Well, I love the mission.
But the point is that we're all supporting, cowboy people are supporting kids fighting pediatric cancer or who are in remission or who have been through it in their families. So all of us with kids and grandkids, you know, that's the unthinkable. So very cool to see so many golden scarves flying everywhere last night. Yes, there were some hats.
Well, as a video guy, you look at it and you're like, whoa, camera problems. And then I realized, sorry.
And the night before, okay, so last night was round three. Round two champ in the steer wrestling, Tucker Allen. Between the time he went to help Justin Schaefer saddle banker for round two, which Tucker won, when he came back from the South Point after getting his first ever buckle, he came back to the Thomas and Mack, and his truck had been stolen. So if anybody...
Where did it get stolen from? The secondary lot at Thomas and Mack?
The overflow cowboy parking lot. Out by the stalls. Great. So I got to thinking, though, okay, it's a white Ram dually. How many of those do you think are in town right now?
Hold on, though. Do you understand that probably 1 hour after they stole it, it was not a white Ram dually. It was pieced out into 700 parts and on some kind of website being sold.
Okay. So Benny Binion and Sean Davis were recognized last night from the rafters as the NFR icons, joining this year's fellow classman, Dan Mortensen, who's a six-time world champ. Okay, clearly the big eliminators were out last night in the bareback riding.
Clearly.
They were strong and large. Waylon Bourgeois, the Cajun, Church Point, Louisiana, he won the bareback riding last night. He just married NFR steer wrestler Winston Fry's daughter, Chloe, like just got married. So that's cool. Congratulations to them. Okay, Ty Erickson was 3-5 to win the steer wrestling last night, and he has his past horse of the year, Crush, and he's letting Rowdy Parrott and Stetson Jorgensen, in the absence of Mabel here this year, ride Crush also. Three teams split the win last night in the team repings. 3-3-8.
Well, Erickson, right? You were talking about Erickson?
I'm talking about Ty Erickson.
I know. Yeah.
Did I say something
else? Are you finished with him?
Yeah.
Well, it's significant, his jump in the standings from 14 to, we don't really know, because I read on a press release from an association that he jumped to second. And then when I looked at the standings, it said third. So he went from 14th to second or third. I'm not sure which, given the data out there, but that's a big jump. So I'm sorry. I just want to throw that in. My little tidbit there. Go ahead.
Well, it's okay, but he is second right now. Just saying. Second to Will Loomis right at the moment. Okay. So in the team roping, three Canadian Cowboys were in on the victory lap, which included six guys. We had the Graham brothers, who are at their first NFR. We had Lightning Aguilera, who took his, and Caden Profili took their second victory lap of the week, and Colton Schmidt, another Canadian, and Jonathan Torres also. So that, you know, three Canadians in one night in the team rep, and that's
oh, Canada.
Had some maple leaf flags flying. Okay, so in the bronc riding, Statler Wright was the champ. I did have a curiosity question. I don't know if you know the answer, but I got to thinking watching the rodeo last night. If, and you guys, Frost Boys, might know this. If, okay, there was a bull last night that was in the chute and no bueno, and they turned him out and he got the re-ride. Or if, say, a bucking horse doesn't have his trip and they get a re-ride. I was curious, nerd, how the contractor pay works when that happens.
I believe once the animal gets to the NFR and is tagged, they are paid.
That is absolutely correct. Once they get the tag, they get paid either way.
Okay, and that includes alternates?
Correct.
Do the alternates get the same amount as the first stringers? Because the alternates,
well,
whether they buck or not?
If you're going to ask me these questions, you got to ask me in advance.
At least in the bull riding, and maybe I'm completely wrong on this, but I don't know if they actually show up with alternate animals. Like when we have a bull in a pen that gets hurt, or gets hurt would be a prime example. We've always had a discussion with our event director, and we've moved a bull from a different pen into that pen. We don't bring in an alternate bull.
But the re-ride bull.
The re-ride
bulls. The re-ride bulls get, right. They get paid. They get paid. Because everything has to be bucked. Everything gets bucked once.
Oh,
and
sweet.
So
they, okay. Because they got five re-rides for each pin.
Okay, I think that's fun to know. I like to know that, every detail. Okay, in the calf roping, I saw something that I don't know if I've ever seen before. Tom Krause is here at his first NFR, and he like got his fingers caught in his reins or something. And I mean, it spun him around and stopped him.
Did it spin him around, it took him a hot minute to get his fingers out of that too.
Yes, but Riley Webb, our world leader, it's been neck and neck with him and Chad. He won the round last night 7-flat, him and his horse of the year, Rudy. That was fun to see. That kid is, I hate to call anybody a machine, but he's pretty close. Okay, the barrel racing. So Carly Otero, who's the tiniest, she's so tiny, and she has that big NFR calf rope, her husband, Michael. She won the round last night. There were two people, and she was one of them, where I didn't know if the electric eye didn't work, but the scoreboard wasn't running. So did they use the hand timers? I don't know that answer, but there were two of them, and the other one was Andrea Busby. So I'm like,
So I have no insider information, but I'll tell you from having timing and scoring in our portfolio, it sure looked like, because that clock stopped and started again, I'm taking a wild guess, they can start and stop those clocks with those handhelds, right? The back judges. I don't know. I don't know that it was the eyes, right? But it was weird that it stopped. It didn't stop. Then it restarted again, like something crossed the line twice, right? Because technically, it didn't stop, meaning it didn't see anything cross the line. Well, then something stopped and started again. So point being, we'll do some research and figure out if we can find out from the guys down there what happened. But I know in every other rodeo, they're running watches. And I guarantee you, they are here.
Right. But, you know, how people feel about using a hand time, it's not.
I know, but when stuff happens.
I understand stuff happens.
That judge is there with a flag. And I'll tell you what, it is not too much off because the timers look. I watch them do it every time. They look down. No, it isn't. You're wrong.
You know how flag a horse's nose?
Well, maybe you're not as good as a professional timer. I'm just saying that I watch
There's human error and delay.
There is, but I watch them look and drop their clocks, right? Because they try to see how good they are, right? How close they are.
They're amazing.
And they are way closer than you think.
They're amazing. I'm not
blasting
anyone.
Maybe not a hundredth of a second
but
close.
An electric eye.
I understand.
Okay.
S happens.
Good for Carly. She was here. Remember last year? She gutted it out with a cracked pelvis the whole time. Imagine how much fun that is. Anyway. Okay, Tristan Hutchings won the bull riding last night. I don't know if you guys have any insight on that ride, but I thought it was really cool that he took his Golden Circle of Champions champion up with him at the buckle ceremony at the South Point. That was cool. And I would love to ask you guys your opinion on
that. Well, let's do a formal. Did you already do the formal introduction?
No, but I was going to read the injury report really quick. Oh, I also wanted to mention.
Well, you asked it the question, and then you just kept rolling.
Just go ahead and answer.
thank you. A little testosterone helped.
We did have some insight on Tristan.
Let's go.
Josh probably more than me, but Tristan did. Tristan came down this summer and rode some bulls at the house and spent some time with us. And there's a guy that. I don't know if anybody has a stronger work ethic than him in pro rodeo or in bull riding specifically, but Josh actually talked to him yesterday for the afternoon or yesterday morning.
When we were pulling into the convention center, he texted me and was like, "It's going terrible. Any mental advice?" And I was laughing because of anybody here. He's had some really good NFRs, but it's never been like come in and ride four or five bulls. It's like he'll buck off one or two and then he comes and wins the round. And like he's done that every single year. And that's pretty much what I told him. I'm like, I don't know what, like, you've done this before. Like, you know how to recover from mistakes. You've worked harder than everybody here. Like, simply fix the mistakes and go and execute tonight. And you've seen it. You know, he's one of the few guys that, like, it seems like he can just legitimately trying harder. Works for him. Most guys, the harder they try, the worse it goes. And it's like Tristan, when he bucks off one or two, like it just pisses him off. And he just, like you seen him last night, he was a little out of position when that bull first turned back and he legitimately just wheeled himself back into the middle. And then from there, he just got more and more dominant. It was pretty great watching.
Well, yeah, he made the choice that really you see in a lot of rides, but there was a point like it could have went either way. And he made the choice, I'm going to stay on. And then it happened.
And he willed it to be true.
Well, and the thing about it is, what I'm noticing, you guys tell me if it's wrong or right, but you got a big rookie lineup, right? And
how many first-timers?
Seven.
But so, the last time it was like that was in 2014, my first final.
Which seven first-time here, four of them actual rookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it. It's a combination of mental game and mechanical, right? And I noticed that some of the rookies were making mechanical mistakes that I didn't see them make in Pendleton. Is that because of the mental?
100%.
Right? So they're not thinking correct. Because I'm like, what do you... You see that?
They didn't forget the fundamentals. Yeah. They didn't change their fundamentals, but they zoomed out because of one thing or another. And so we see their body make mistakes, hesitate, yeah. hesitation, essentially.
That split second not making that move is the difference. And then we talked about this yesterday. I'll throw it back to you guys. You're on the end of your arm, right? You know that you're in a bad situation. You hang on because you're gritty and tough to get there this early in the round, or do you take the chance of an injury? Like, how do you process that at all before you nod your head? Does that make sense?
It's, I'm, some of the guys do, and you see it with them, but it's also like the guys that are committed, like that never crosses their mind. Like
they're just going to,
you see it with Stetson, with Kyle, you know, there's, I mean, in general, almost all the guys here are going to hang off the side to make the, like, you're not going to see any of them open their hand and land on their feet.
It right depends here. On at what point in the ride you yeah. get that far out of position.
You're right.
It's, if
you're
2 seconds and you're, yeah. you got six yeah. to go.
When there's, yeah. when there's 36, that, you know, the kind of money in Vegas, like if there's ever a time to take a slam and to make the whistle, this is the place to do it because, you know, in a perfect scenario, there's a still a chance you're going to get hurt.
Like, if the slamming doesn't kick you out of another 210,000, that yeah. can be won.
But as soon as you flip the switch to start thinking, oh, I need to take care of myself.
Right.
Now you don't win a dollar because you're not putting out the effort to make the whistle.
Makes sense.
Let's just at least get a couple things off the list here. Like last night was the NFR rookie bets, right? And so to what's too bad, Quinn had to shave his head, but we couldn't
tell him why. Tell everybody why.
Okay, so if you're here for the first time and you buck off in the first round, the veterans get to decide your basically hazing, your punishment, whatever you want to call it. So Quinn had to shave his head. Raleigh Johnson had to, they taped 40-ounce tall boy beers to his hands, and he either had to drink them cold before he rode or warm yeah. after he rode. And then my favorite, because we could actually see it, was Bryce Jensen and the granny panties on the outside of his jeans.
That was wonderful.
We laughed pretty hard at that. That was a new one that I hadn't seen before.
It was almost like diapers.
Yeah, it looked like the one to stay on.
Good pair of whitey tighties.
Okay, while we're on the subject of diapers, before, and then I want to read the injury report real quick before we ask you, reigning world champ, about your sling there. We all have little people at home, and so
let's call this the shout out to all of our littles.
The littles, because I in California have Charlie Hazel and LCK, and I have Beau Frank in Texas, and KK loves you. I guess I'll say that. They watch every day. It's so sweet.
Asher, Lucia, Jude, Lucia, hello. This is Tumps. They wanted them to call me Grumps, but they went with Tumps. So that's my grandpa nickname. Hi, boys. They got their cowboy hats on. They're in the living room. Now let's go around. You guys.
Okay, and by the way, you guys, you say hello, but are you an account of six girls?
It's six girls under six in the Frost family between the three
well,
brothers.
Well, there's five and one to be here yeah. any day.
Yeah.
Wow.
For Jake.
Yep. Yep.
And a little boy is not, he going to be here in April.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I've got Maeve Frost. She's 15 months old and hope she's watching.
I'll say hi to Luella and Lene and Laura Lee, and I'll say hi to Savvy too. And then the two new ones on the way. Ray Shaney.
Yep.
Are they already Shaney. Named?
Yep.
That's already named?
The little
boy don't have a name yet.
It's wild. I mean, yeah, he's going to get all new clothes.
Yeah, he got some this morning. Cowboy Christmas.
I am privy to the Justin Sports Medicine Report. So there are only four guys on here, thankfully. So I just wanted to rip through it real quick. And then I want to ask you about your situation. The first night, Stetson Jorgensen sprained his left knee. He's on the questionable list. And Dakota Eldridge came in with a fractured left foot after dropping a panel on his foot right before the NFR.
It didn't seem to slow Stetson down last night.
Yeah, keepers. Okay, last night's Cooper Cook's on there for a right knee patella subluxation. That sounds like not fun. Isn't that your kneecap? Does that mean he dislocated his kneecap? But it says he's going to be competing. And Hudson Bolton, he got stomped, and it says left forearm laceration. Do you know any more about that?
Not a lot of the details, but we had dinner with Rustocki last night and kind of checked in on him, and he said it looked worse than it was. He's going to be a little bit sore, but just, I think, more or less caught a little bit of the dew claw. And I mean, you've seen that his shirt was ripped when he got up, and most of the time when that happens, it takes a little hide with it, but nothing that'll slow Hudson down.
Did you say, was it the riding hand or free hand?
If it was his left, I think that is his riding arm. He is a lefty.
But if it's his right, and if it's his arm and not his hand, that would be a good thing.
Yeah, it looked more like bicep forearm area.
Okay. And Hudson, just on a note, since you've been over at the PBR, he was the PBR Rookie of the Year, and he's contending with three other guys for this year's PRCA Rookie, right?
Yep.
Handy. Yeah. Okay. So you just had a redo, right? On your, tell us what you had to get done and then redone, and you're expected back in March?
Yep. We kind of talked about it last year, had some shoulder problems pre-NFR, shoulder was dislocating, got through the finals, got surgery right afterwards. I went in, fixed my rotator cuff and labrum. I think I had two tears in my labrum, rotator cuff. 6 months physical therapy, everything came back, was doing really good, and got yanked real hard. Probably the third week I was cleared back to ride, and shoulder dislocated, and they told me that, hey, if it does it again, you're going to have to get this other surgery. And sure enough, 3 weeks later, I get chicken flipped off one and shoulder dislocates. And I was competing at the PBR teams season. And so I was really wanting to get through that before I got surgery again. And so I was able to get through that. And then they went in afterwards and did what they call a ladder jet surgery. They more or less do a bone graft on the front of your joint to make it more stable and deeper. I don't know. I wish they would have just did that the first time when they started, when they were like, oh yeah, there's this other surgery we can do that'll really make it stable. And I'm like, didn't you guys think maybe we should have just did that the first time?
Cadaver bone or from you?
From me. It's called like your corduroy bone. I know I'm saying that wrong. I slaughter the name every time, but it's a bone that's in the shoulder area. And they literally just break it off and move it over like an inch from, it doesn't really do anything where it's at. And I think it's a pretty common surgery they do. And
so. I've just known a lot of guys who, like, they would take a piece of bone from like their hip and they would say when they were trying to get better, my hip hurts more than, you know, where they fix me. Before we get, I mean, I totally, it's my fault for not saying more of this basic stuff about Joe and Josh up front, but reigning world champion bull rider, both of you 5-time NFR bull riders. I think we have a picture that I find so cool of brothers Joe and Clyde Frost. If we're able, I don't know if they're listening, but anyway, oh, there. Okay. That's the
just
coolest
look
picture.
Down at your, that's called a
sorry,
confidence
I'm looking
monitor.
At the guys. Sorry.
Confidence monitor.
Okay. That is the coolest picture because that's the foundation of what's going on right now. So Clyde, Lane's dad, but he rode in the first NFR bareback rider, right?
Yeah. And I don't, my guy from Utah.
Okay. And then his brother Joe, where we get Joe over here, was their grandpa, and he was killed in a car accident.
In 85.
Oh my God. First year it was here. Okay. But that's where the Frost legacy that you guys are carrying on. That's where it all started, right?
Oh, we grew up seeing that picture as kids, and like that was the dream. Like that picture's worth 1,000 words. We don't know what all else was going on, but like we got to live that, you know. And it's, you know, that picture's, like I say, worth 1,000 words to us.
Well, I feel like what you guys, having known you since you were little kids, and both of you, by the way, Linderman Award winners. Name your events.
Calf rope and steer wrestling and bull riding.
Bull riding, calf rope and steer wrestling. Sometimes the team roping.
Head or heel?
Heel.
I mean, when you guys were little kids and you were goat tying, you were doing it all, right?
We did. We compete. We did it. We did all the events: barrel racing, pole bending. We did all of them.
If they had it, we were entered.
You know, the more times you put your name in the hat, the more chances you have to win.
Well, I remember the first time that I remember you guys was at the junior high finals with my boys, Lane and Taylor at Gallup, New Mexico. And I remember I saw you first, Joe, bow-legged. Your hat reminded me of Lane. And I'm like, if that's not a Frost, I don't know if there is a Frost. And you were the bull riding champ, right? At the junior high finals.
Yep.
When you were in eighth grade. And then you won the high school finals, and then you won the college finals, and then you were here contending for, I mean, right there in the mix. And then, I mean, I want to just say blood clots, but I don't know if that's a better definition.
That's the summary.
Yep. But in your straight prime, top of the world, you had to walk away.
Yep. And, you know, and that was... That was really hard, but what I'm doing now with the coaching and teaching, you know, I know now that, like, that's my true calling in life. Like, I just had to ride bulls long enough to gain some credibility and the knowledge that I needed to actually be able to be more impactful. But I get more fulfillment and true joy from what I'm doing now. That you couldn't have told me that when I was riding bulls, but... You know, it was just a step along the way for me.
Well, you guys, to me, like, the Frost, your family brand of who you are is very, very old school. And you guys, I mean, that's how you really are. And the toughness, like, neither one of you, excuses I know are not your deal. But I mean, it's not an act. It's how you were raised, right?
Yeah, every day. I mean, we was in bull riding school, cowboy school from as soon as, you know, that's what we had every day, you know, and with what I do now, when I started getting into it, is like we had an distinct advantage because we were born into it. We said we wanted to ride bulls. Dad said okay. We were primed for it. And as I started going to youth rodeos, and it was like, wow, there's so much that I want to give these kids. I got to figure out how to do it in 3 days. And so that's constantly what I'm asking my dad questions all the time. Like, okay, How did you develop this? Why do I feel like this now? And then I think back to all of the times that it was while we were fixing fence or moving wheel lines that this principle was taught or developed in us. And now, okay, how do I take 20 kids in 3 days and see if I can create some transformation and kickstart them in that direction?
Well, it was funny. We were having a conversation the other day about, you know, when you talk about like the legacy and, you know, be a cowboy. When I'm in the chute on a bucking bull, and if he starts getting a little ratty in there, you know, Joe could go ahead and just cowboy this sucker. Let's go. Like, I know what that means.
And boy, that flips the switch.
Oh yeah, that fires me up. Like, heck yeah, like, let's go. We got kids coming and like the natural instincts. All right, be a cowboy. They don't know what that means.
He don't know what that means.
That don't fire them up. They're just like, oh, I got my Wranglers on. Like, what does that mean? But like for us, that's like time to get tough and be a cowboy, you know?
Well, and the thing that brought that up, I got a kid that works for me, Colton Young. And I mean, we'll see him here in a few years. But that occurred to me is I never tell him just cowboy. Because I know he don't know what that means. You know, he didn't grow. Now he's gaining some of that experience and learning some of those things. But I don't use that terminology because that was something that was ingrained in us over the course of 20 years. And so, you know, what does that mean? Cowboying. That's what we're trying to develop in all of these kids that maybe don't have that experience. And we got to do it in 3 day increments.
All of the new kids that culturally, not just in our sport, maybe ought to learn a little bit of what cowboy up means, right? There's a tendency nowadays in the newer generations to wave the white flag pretty darn early. That's all I got to say.
We have to mention Lane, and I think this is year 39 for me here. My first one, I'm a rookie rodeo reporter, and I got to live that 1987 year with Lane and Tuff, and that was like a great privilege. We had, you know, we had no idea that it wouldn't go on forever, but talk about Lane, like how you guys look at Lane. I mean, he's beloved. I mean, is it ever like you buck off and a little kid runs up and asks you for your autograph and you go, okay, what would Lane do? Because we all know what he would do because I saw him do it, you know. But is there like an extra, I don't know, family pride to carry on some of the beyond the arena things that he stood for?
I would definitely say so for me, you know, and the thing that's cool about Lane and his legacy is, like, for the most part, most of the bull riders, we all grew up watching 8 Seconds. We all grew up with Lane as our idol. And, like, that was one of the biggest takeaways from that movie was, like, you know, he was such a good person and that's why people loved him. And, like, for the most part in the sport of bull riding, like, there's a lot less of the toughs that just goes, you know, not saying he was, from what I understand, he wasn't the friendliest guy. You know, he would walk by people and wouldn't give out an autograph. And, like, you look at the group of 15 bull riders here, you know, last names aside, every single one of them is going to stop and talk to a little kid. And I think a lot of that comes from all of us growing up, you know, watching 8 Seconds and being Lane Frost fans and realizing, like, that's the kind of world champion. That's the kind of bull riders we want to be.
Right. And I mean, at the time, you know, everybody's surrounded by Lane and they were really always waiting on Lane. That was real because he was kissing babies. They would have been kissing babies and talking to the old man about the price of wheat and whatever, you know, but it really was like that where he really cared. Like he looked these people in the eye and wait for their answer. And it really was like that. But also when Tuff lost Lane, it flipped that switch in Tuff. And then when I was with the PBR those first 16 years, when that all got going, every single time, Tuff Hiedemann was the last guy standing. He would not leave that arena till the last fan in the whole place had their autograph, and he talked to him. So Lane, you know,
he set the standard.
Yes,
you know, and that was something that, like, something I think that we always knew, and it was just, we did the same. We just followed suit because that was the standard.
Right. And I mean, you learned, you know, you took really hard news with great grace, but like you figured out pretty early in life that there's more to it than what's inside that arena.
Hey, and that, you know, the Frost legacy motto is ride forever. The ride's not over when you walk out of the arena. It's a metaphor for life. You ride forever. You do one thing, how you do all things.
That's pretty cool. No excuses. Did you want to talk?
Okay. Yeah, I've got a couple things. Good stuff from the Frost. I did get one of our insiders to talk about the electric eyes. Okay, that we talked about earlier, the barrel racing electric eyes. So the way those things work is they stack the eyes. There's two eyes there. And they take the signal, right, from one of them, and that's what you see on the screen. The other one's feeding a whole nother console. They're running simultaneously because they're stacked. Well, short answer to this is they lost signal to the eye. The eye still recorded the time, but it didn't show. The second one recorded a time clean, you just didn't see it. So short answer is they did lose signal between one, but they never went to watches. They had two eyes.
That's great.
On both of those that had the same time. That's not what we all saw, but them all standing up there. And the timers are the ones that look at it and approve it, right? You know, they verify that you know, both of them ran. So both of those ran. And so I think that's a good update. So if you thought that was the case, or if we talked about it earlier, that's not the case. Now, one of the things that we have, yesterday it got out on the hot press as the fine list. Someone leaked it. Well, if you've been around No Spin Rodeo, typically we have insiders and we get the fine list. So we're not going to put this up on the screen today, maybe tomorrow, but I'm going to go over the fines from last night. We'll have a little conversation about them, okay? So the first one, Trisha Aldridge, dress code, wrong shoes. Page 16 of the rules, by the way, $250 fine.
Wrong shoes?
Well, I assume it's not wearing boots, but I don't, again, I'm just reading the shot of the fine list, so I guess I don't know what shoes. It's shoes in parent. Any idea what that would be? There's so many ways they can fine you.
I don't know on that. There's a chance if she had them in the... We actually had this conversation because boots make my back hurt. And so I've got to wear, like, I ride bulls better when my back doesn't hurt. So I wear my tennis shoes to the rodeo, and I've worn my tennis shoes down the walkway to the Thomas and Mack, I guess 40 nights at this point. I've never got fined for shoes, but I also didn't go into the arena. You know, I don't know what the context on that is.
And maybe it is horseshoes. I don't know. Maybe there's something off the horses.
Oh, surely not. I'm joking.
Well, I don't know surely, but it could be. This one's interesting. Rocker Steiner, he gets smacked again for not being ready in the shoot. Wasn't ready to nod his head when they thought he was supposed to.
Well, those deals comes down to, I don't know what the bareback riding is, but the bull riding, when the previous bull clears the outgate, when he leaves the arena, you have to have your hand in the rope pulling. I'm sure it's something to do with when he had his hand in the rigging or when he was on his horse. And, you know, them deals are pretty cut and dry. They don't take into account, oh, his horse stalled in the back and didn't get rolled in fast enough. And then later you got to go.
The contractor said, give it a second, let him settle down before you run your hand in, and he gets fined. But I think they can appeal, right?
You can appeal. They're pretty good. Like the judge's job is to record the fine. But like if something like that happens that where it really wasn't Rocker's fault, he can argue it and they'll take the fine away.
You got to write letters.
And a lot of the judges are very, like, for the most part, they're paying attention and they're like, oh, obviously the horse wasn't in. I'm not going to, like, they use their discretion relatively well most of the time.
They're doing what they were asked to do.
Yeah, that's their job. And
the ground rules.
Yeah,
the fine list looks silly, but
that's the thing. I see it, everybody on Facebook, you know, talking about how stupid it is, but it's, none of this is a surprise to any of us contestants. It's at the end of the day, it's them blatantly not following. It might be on accident, but like, same thing with the feather in the hat. That's been a rule here forever. Like,
it's a federal offense.
Yeah.
It's a federal offense.
And you can have a feather in your hat. It just can't be, you know, it can be a turkey or a chicken, or you can still find feathers that are legal to put into your hat, but don't walk in here with
eagle. I found a feather. It was a one of them sandhill cranes. We get them all, you know, there in Utah. You can hunt them in Utah. Well, they're protected in Nevada. It was a beautiful feather. I didn't wear it.
And the thing about it is, and we said this yesterday when we went over the fine list, the governing body has to enforce the rules. If they don't, the rules don't mean anything. And they're enforcing the rules. And it's the same thing that I said on the judges when they started asking me about the replay. I said, look, if the judges don't throw the flag, right? If they don't throw a missed mark out, then it doesn't get reviewed. So you got to empower those guys that if they don't really know, throw the flag because they're going to get it right. Mm-hmm. And those judges had to kind of learn that. Now, in the PBR and stuff, those guys now have done this enough that they know where their confidence lies, and it's not a slap in the face by someone calling for a replay, right? It's more of a challenge. Like it should be, right? You're challenging. We'll keep going on this. Well,
but on the throwing of the flags, like the first night, they threw a flag. Well, no, the second night they threw. Okay, Cooper Cook won the first round of the bareback ride, and they threw a flag on him the second round. But then they reviewed it and they took it away. Last night they threw a flag on Mason Clements, got him missing the horse out on both sides, and it stood. So it
saved Ryder, I think, the first night.
Yeah,
they threw a flag on him,
and watching his in fast motion.
It was close.
I would have thrown it too. Watching
horse had a real,
it was hard to tell.
Real little first. It was almost like a gallop out instead of a rare.
But it was blatantly obvious
on the replay that he was there. But from the standing there, I understood why they threw it. But
so it's such great progress to have the review.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. Number three, Riley Pruitt riding the horse in the building, $250.
Riding the horse in the building.
Now, again, we probably should get clarification on what this is, but there's probably, you can only
ride. They ride him up on the mezzanine?
Well, no, but maybe you can, there's only so many, you know what? They may only be allowing so many horses in that tunnel because of HE1. We don't know all this, right?
Yeah.
It has not, it's not as simple as it sounds.
It could have been during the day.
It could have been during
the day. He probably knows what it is. He knows exactly what it is, yep. And he might even, there's a chance he broke it on purpose. Because he needed to do something, and it was worth it. I don't know what the fine is.
$250,
but
fair.
It's worth $250. I need to get my horse.
Well, same thing on something. A patch, right? Depends on what they're paying you.
Yeah,
But it depends on when they see it because it compounds. And then you got Tyler Calhoun with the same thing, riding a horse, $250.
Pickup man.
Yep.
Calhoun.
Yep. And then old JR, he got the feather again. The eagle feather again. So, and again.
Now, does the eagle feather compound?
Yes, yep. He's at 500 now. Now, it's going to be interesting. Is he just proven a point? And has someone stepped up and said.
Or does he not know?
He knows. It's hung right on the wall of the locker room. You walk in the bull rider's lot. Everybody's
checking it and making fun
of it. So, he's doing. He made a decision. The question is, how long is he going to stick with it, right? Because if I do the math, what is it going to be? That's going to be like. 10 grand or something?
I think it compound, like, I seen one deal that it ended up coming out to like 200,000 because you're, what is it, 250, 500, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, 8,000, 16,000, like, it comes up
to doubles every time.
Doubles every single time.
Man, we've got what do we got, six perfs left?
Six perfs left.
Yeah, so whatever that is. So we'll see if he's just like, I'm keeping my eagle feather. But again, it's a federal, you better be careful. Like, I read the law. And it doesn't matter if you pick it up off the ground.
Yeah.
It's like go to jail. $100,000 fine. Like they're not kidding. Leave the eagle feathers lay.
Did Kai take his out? Because his was funny. His was a migratory bird. And I was laughing. I was like, maybe he had an endangered Australian bird feather in his hat or something.
Evidently he did, because that the only feather fine.
Was JR.
Was JR for the next
year? Well, it was the year JB was here, which he has an honorary letter from an Indian reservation. He did a school there, and they made him like an honorary member of the tribe. So he thought he'd be okay, but they wanted to see the letter, and he didn't bring the letter. But so he had it. He got the fine the first night. Well, the second night was when he gets mucked out and knocked out. It was funny because they didn't find him that night, the night that he get knocked out. And then the third night, they find him again. And then by that point, I think he was realizing that his body was hurting pretty bad, that he wasn't sure how well, it was the fourth night he went ahead and took it out. But he tried to stick it out for a minute, but it was just so funny because he's like, why didn't they find me the night that I got knocked out? He's like, well, that was nice of him. Figured you were having a rough enough day already.
That's cool. Well, couple of things, little housekeeping items. There is this little team roping going on down at South Point. So I was going to try to daily for those of no spinners that are team roping fans, do a little recap. The Riata Showcase horse sale is today at 10 a.m. So that's cool. And then there'll be a roping to follow. So in the previous numbered ropings, Coulter Lee Todd, son, won heading in the 15 for $6,000 and in the 14.5 won $30,000. So he's won $36,000 so far.
So that's there. More than twice what his dad's won at the big arena. And you know what? Coulter Todd is one of the cool. You guys, you have to see this. Like, he is one of the coolest, like, legit cowboy when you're talking about being a cowboy. But what I have such vivid memories. Coulter was here. He was contending for world titles as a header. Then he has baby girl, Madeline, I think. And he just pulls up and goes home. He's like, "I'm. That's it. I'm going to be a dad." And then they had two boys, and now his best friend Begay brings him out of retirement, and he's one of the very few NFR switch enders healing, of course, here for Begay. But he, that's a family. Family first fella.
Those guys, well, I'm not even going to say that. I'm not going to say that because it's so tacky because I'm not going to say it. I wanted to say, yeah, I picked them on the fantasy team and it's really hard on me, but it's not hard on me.
My team records are 0-3, so hey, they might come at it.
My point is, my fantasy team, you're killing me. Well, Yeah.
It's a lot harder.
What about them?
That's after, you know, being here. Like, I always hated it when people said that. Now I'm over here sitting on the bench and I'm like, you're screwing my fantasy team. What are you doing?
You can't help it, right?
What's wrong with you?
And so then Tyler Pearson. Familiar name.
Who's hazing here?
Yeah, Tyler Pearson won 21-5 in the 14.5.
That's open. Cool. Pearson is you know, he's a world champion steer wrestler, and he's hazing on his great hazing horse Metallica here for some guys, and you know, he just lost his dad, so that's good for him.
That's good. And then the big story that they're all talking about over around the South Point is Coulter Butters. This guy won the 14.5 finale healing. So he split 147 grand to win that. And then the next rope on the 13.5 bloomer key card, he was for 88.4. So he's won 120 grand in one day. That's great, right? I mean, you know, and the players are a part of it. There's a bunch of them there. And everything's working good with the old Herp. Like, nobody's hurt. Like, I haven't heard anything, you know, and it was scary for all of us in this business. So that's a little recap, and of course those higher number ropings are less, you know, they're the better players, right? Because it's a handicap system, less ropers, and if you live by South Point like I do, for the next 4 days, the amount of ropers,
right.
Because the middle ropings, you know, right. Then they start coming holy. You'll never ever get to eat at Steak and Shake in South Point from now on.
But you know what? Team ropers are the majority of all contestants by far. And when I was a kid, it was only open ropings. And what smart people like the Gentries figured out is that the majority are, you know, they have families and jobs and businesses and different things. And they're you know, the elite are the minority.
Well, Danny Gentry told me one time, and it's really never thought about it. He said, team roping is cowboy golf. And you think about it, you look at those guys, it's like, oh, he's got he just hit a 350-foot drive with that driver, I'm buying it. You see the same thing with ropes. Hell, they even think bell boots do it. I mean, the amount of things that people buy over there and shift, because it really is cowboy golf. A lawyer can do it part-time and have fun
it's
with
booming.
It. You're not going to go get on a bull.
Yeah.
Now, but I wanted to jump back. What's the story on your shoulder? When, what, do you know?
Yeah, not officially, but we're tentative. Was 4 months. I got my 6 week follow up. I think next week we go in. I'll be out of the sling. Pretty much sounds like the bone graft will be healed at 3 months, and so that'll be the end of February. And they just said the end of January, and they said once your strength's even in both arms, you got the clear to go.
Now, do you do rehab while it's healing?
Yep. Like, I've already started. I mean, it's been hard to wear the sling the last week because they've already got me doing some, like, I'm using the muscles and moving it. I've got my range of motion back, but yeah, I'm still supposed to have the sling on for another week. And
I would love to ask, we have long histories too with both the PRCA and the PBR. You guys both did both. And I would love to know your philosophy or your advice based on your experiences, you know, for young people. It's like, are you laughing at me?
This is an interesting conversation, right? Just keep going.
I think it's interesting. If you're a world-class bull rider, what's a guy going to do? Or if this puts you in too weird of a spot.
No, not at all.
It's a conversation we have.
I was with Hudson yesterday on Matt Merritt's show, and the number one takeaway is there's no better time to be a bull rider, whether you're PBR or PRCA. The money is amazing, and it can be a little hard balancing both associations, but at the end of the day, the PBR finals and the NFR are the two places as a bull rider that you can make a whole bunch of money in 8 to 10 days. And so if you can be at those two finals and going right, you know, that's how you can really set yourself up well. And you're seeing Hudson do it this year. He's made the PBR finals, made the NFR the same year. I did it in 22, 23. Boudreaux Campbell did it before that. I think Dalen did it once. Like, there's a few of the guys that can do it, but it's one, like, bull riding is dangerous. And so, like, I kind of got the philosophy, like, if I'm going to be 88 points, I just assume do it for 30,000 instead of 500.
Well, on a career management level, okay, longevity, bull riders are not famous for it, but Haley Kinzel's horse sister is here what a so many NFRs in a row and four world titles and contending again. She only took her to 21 rodeos this year. So for you guys, do you look at it like you're only young once, we have this window no matter what? Or if you managed it and did it less, would you, some, or, you know, could I get more years out of this? How do you look at that?
The thing that's hard about bull riding is, you know, the best way to be in bull riding shape is by riding bulls. And so the more you get on, the healthier you can stay, because now your body's in riding shape. But then the more you get on, the more chances you have of getting hurt. And you see that at the NFR, the guys that get on a bunch of practice bulls, the guys that don't. The guys that don't usually get hurt more, but then you hear stories about, I think that's Bryce Jensen. I heard that he bummed his knee up on the last practice bull he got on. And but
moral of the story, don't get hurt while you're practicing.
You guys are famous for practicing a lot.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, that's what I said. And as I've gotten older, I've had to learn to still feel confident getting on less bulls. But now that I've been getting on less bulls, coincidentally, I've started getting hurt a little bit more. And it's, you know, but I've always had the full, like, which when we talk about the Frost name, and like, I grew up and we worked hard. We worked every single day. And so, like, I make my living riding bulls. And so I can be sitting at the house hanging out, or I can be out there working. And I love riding bulls, and I love the job. And so, like, that's part of, I probably from 21 to 24, I got on more bulls in the world than anybody. I mean, I was 200 plus stat, you know, I was 150 to 170 on pro bull stats. And the closest guy to me was maybe 100. And I made a whole bunch of money doing that. But it's kind of, there's a fine line there. And I've learned that as I've gotten older, of like, picking and choosing a little more, and realizing that just because you're not going to a rodeo that day doesn't mean you're lazy. It's part of taking care of your body so that you can win more at the ones you go to.
You can tell your shoulder's getting better because you kind of look like a T-Rex.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, like, Luke Brown, I think, is 50 now. You know, you can see that here, but you will not see a 50-year-old bull.
We talked about that last night. He's like, man, you know, I really love bull riding, and it's really appealing, but if we would have been team ropers.
Well, you see, like I said, you just talked about the money they're winning at the South Point, and then you know, you see them, you know, 20 plus times to the NFR. Like, if they, you know,
pick up a rope.
Yeah.
It's out there. Well, so you'll probably go back to UTB right away.
No, I'm coming rodeo. And I'm,
oh, you're coming rodeo?
Yeah, you sent me up there in that stands and made me watch that rodeo last night.
Listen, heard it here.
Yeah. And UTB is Unleash the Beast.
Unleash the Beast. Yeah.
And that was originally the plan, was I was going to do the UTBs and then go make the NFR after that. But the shoulder deal is going to take me out of, you know, their season's going to be 80% of the way over. And so I'm secretly hoping for Houston gets one special invite in each event. And so I'm secretly hoping
Longer a secret.
It isn't a secret anymore.
Well, no, I mean, like, me personally, I'm hoping for that special.
Shout out, Houston Committee.
Houston Committee.
Here's your guy.
Would love to be at Houston next year.
Hey, before we jump on, there's one hot topic that we've got a couple minutes, and I've got a little information on, and we try to bring up stuff that people don't hear. So we saw some problems with some barrel horses in the barrel racing last night in the ground. And I love it, because as soon as it happens, everybody on social media that's ever got on a tractor or ever put on a barrel racing, it's simple, dig that ground up and get it wet. You idiots out there at the NFR don't know what you're doing. So I tapped into some of my sources about the ground. And I think people have to understand that if you noticed in the past NFR, for one, these guys are balancing the ground between 9 disciplines. Not just the barrel racing. So they got 9 different disciplines to talk to. Some require different ground than others, some more extensively different. And I got a picture that they can put up of them working the ground overnight, working on the dirt. Here's what I thought was interesting. They do moisture tests, and all that ground is layered. And in case you're wondering at home, every night, they rip it down to the lowest base, and then relayer it in.
It's concrete.
It's concrete down 18 inches, right? But they get all the way down to where a horse won't get into it, and then they layer it back in, because you can't just fluff it back in, right? Because then it'll just go away when you make a corner. and they layer it back in. And the expert told me, he said, look, that mid, they got to the compact layer last night, and they hadn't up until then. And part of the deal is, he says it's big and powerful horses. You know, and you guys get this because you ride. You know, them horses turning those corners, the bigger they are, the harder they push into it. And pretty soon, if they get down deep enough, and so they're working on it, all of you keyboard warriors, they're working on it for tonight. Everything had been good. They hadn't got down there. Everybody was happy. And they're working on it, admitted that it's not good that it happened, but they are on it. And, right. And they flip that ground every day.
Right.
And that's why it gets faster. You watch. That ground will get better, right, as they get those layers and moisture all figured out. Because it depends on a couple things that I thought was interesting. Temperature of the concrete, right? Temperature of the building. Humidity outside and inside. Like, this isn't just Billy John on his Heston out there. This is a science, okay? A science. So I just love all you that are out there.
Well, and part of the reason for those who didn't see it is Brittany Posey Tanazi, her horse went kind of all the way down in the back end, was probably the most noticeable thing that happened to bring up the conversation.
And you know, once they get down there, imagine this, right? Once they turn that corner and they get stuff pushed away and they get down there, then they're there and you see it in the next horses. But then the argument is real quick, because this is funny, because we hear this too. Well, they should be raking. That's why they should be raking. Well, think about this. If you dig a hole, guys, and you just rake loose dirt in that hole where there's still concrete, it doesn't, they're going to hit, they're going to have a false sense, right? These girls need to know, oh, we're down to this level. We better take this corner a little differently instead of thinking it's fine. Does that make sense? Getting on top of the ground and it leaves.
We literally had this conversation last night in the barrels, just watching and knowing, like, the experience I have from riding horses and bulls. Like, they're probably good enough jockeys that, like, I do feel like them girls that are on the top of the ground, it seems like they push their horses harder than when they were on the bottom of the ground.
Because
like,
they can.
I'm sure they can feel that from the first turn, how the ground feels.
Probably going into the first turn.
Yeah. And you'll still see the girl. You know, there's still been some girls that have been 14th or 15th that have placed second or third in the round. And, like, I think every horse is different. But them girls riding know when they can fit. You know, they can feel it.
How big a deal is the ground to the bulls?
You know, it is, you can tell a difference. Like, at the end of the day, bulls buck harder on hard ground. Cowboys don't like hard ground. I'm the older I've got, the more I walk out in the arena and I'm like, man, I wish I wouldn't have walked out here, because there's sometimes I wish they'd rake in front of the bucking chutes before the bull ride.
That was the argument with Cody Lambert and the PBR the stock contractor. It needs to be packed. You pack it down. Out would come.
Yeah, when you hit the ground, it hurts.
And then when you hit the ground,
that's the thing that cracks me up about the PBR is they're always so sad because their guys are getting hurt and trying to figure out how to keep guys healthy over there. And it's like,
work up the ground.
Have you ever thought about, like, there's a happy medium of good ground for the bulls and good ground for the riders. But, like, there's some of them events that it's
and that's the bad. The number one, like, at my schools and practices for the youth, like, it's not about the bulls at all. I work the ground religiously because that's like the number one injury prevention.
In general, you shouldn't get knocked out from your head hitting the ground. There's the rare time that you might get slammed hard enough on soft ground, but if you're watching a perf and you're seeing guys hit the ground and get knocked out, it's because the ground's too hard.
Well, there you go. All of you farmers out there, you just got Dirt 101 from all of us here at No Spin Rodeo. On behalf of the Frost, Kendra Santos, myself, Tommy Joe Lucia, thank you for being a part of today's episode of No Spin Rodeo. We'll see you tomorrow right here at the Cent Stage, Cowboy Commons. God bless you.